Today's episode is brought to you by Lufthansa. Time flies comfortably when you're enjoying every minute, every detail, and every little indulgence on your flight. Lufthansa. Nonstop you.
In which coffee and gaming worlds collide. Could your next Poke stop be a Starbucks?
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting in New York. Niantic, the company behind Pokemon Go, has just added Starbucks to its growing list of corporate sponsors, looking for new ways to rack up spending inside the ultra smash hit mobile game that is Pokemon Go. More than 7,800 Starbucks locations in the U.S. over the next 12 weeks will be turned into Pokestops. Let's get the latest on this story. Back with the Tech News Briefing is friend of the podcast, The Wall Street Journal's Brian Fitzgerald. Welcome back, Brian.
Thanks.
This comes right after a deal with Sprint. Moves are clearly being made in this space, maybe as we speak, although maybe we'll get to that in a second. But first off, why Starbucks? Why is this a natural fit for Niantic?
Well, I actually think Starbucks is a better fit than Sprint stores. But yeah, it's got two things going for it. One is a massive footprint of stores. Right, Starbucks are everywhere. And two, it's the kind of store that has a tremendous amount of foot traffic.
To say the least.
Yeah, you constantly have people say, you know, it's like it's just rare when you walk up the street and see an empty Starbucks.
It's true. I mean, off the bat, you see the incentive here. You figure, why not make a Pokemon stop that becomes a quick coffee stop? But I understand they're actually going to have a Pokemon-branded coffee as well.
There will be a Frappuccino, yes.
Goodness. So you clearly see...
I think there are blueberries in it. I'm not
really?
Exactly sure. I haven't had it yet.
But... Okay, this is getting out of control. But but you see what's going on here, because since first launching in July, small businesses have spent money on in-game items that can lure Pokemon to specific locations. Mm-hmm. What were those efforts like? Were they successful? Did they gain traction? How did it go?
Well, you know, it capitalized on buzz. And, you know, I think if you're a small business owner, you have to be crafty like this. I was surprised so many sort of governmental, quasi-governmental organizations like libraries and whatnot, churches and whatnot got in on it,
yeah.
Too. But, yeah, they worked. I don't know if they worked for everyone. But, you know, there's very little effort in having, you know, your local pizza shop, you know, set up a Pokemon account and drop a lore, you know, over itself. That's the little in-game item that attracts Pokemon, right? And so... if you drop a lure over your store, people see that. They're going to want to go there to pick up Pokemon. Because this was at a time when the buzz for the game was so high. Mm-hmm. You know, and you've seen the videos. People were running around, just wandering around looking for Pokestops. And it was really, you know, I witnessed that myself in my own town. And it was a real thing. And so, you know, businesses and organizations were crafty in doing that. And, yeah, totally. And there are anecdotes. I think Bloomberg had a story on one, you know, of a pizza chain that did this. There were anecdotes where it totally worked. People came by, you know, I guess they picked up their Pokemon, they picked up their Pokeballs and got a slice of pizza.
No, yeah. But, you know, Starbucks is obviously pretty next level, to say the least. If this is successful, can we expect to see more of this? Or is Niantic being careful? What is the approach here in terms of this concept and moving forward?
You know, it depends on, you know, there's like what's said and then what you expect will happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Hackey, the CEO of Niantic, has said, look, we're not going to go overboard on this. We're being very careful. We won't do many of these because, you know, you don't want to crowd. You know, you have to remember, this is a geolocation-based game, right? So you hold up your phone, you see a version of what would appear to you to look like any Maps app, Google, Apple Maps, whatever, and there are Pokestops and gyms and whatnot littered all over it. If you start making deals after deals after deals, particularly for people in the city, the map's just going to be bombarded with Pokestops and branded Pokestops. And so he's, you know, the CEO is saying, that's not what we want. Mm-hmm. They're far away from getting to that kind of point yet. But I would think that if these deals do turn out to be successful, and I don't know what kind of financial transactions have taken place with the terms of the deal. Mm-hmm. But if they do turn out to be beneficial for Niantic, I would expect that they're going to do more of these. I was actually surprised when the Sprint announcement came out, because the first thing I thought was, well, that's silly. Why wouldn't I mean, Sprint has a lot of stores, but they don't have a lot of foot traffic, I don't think.
Yeah.
So, you know, my initial thought was, well, why wouldn't they do it with McDonald's, which they had already made a deal with a unit of McDonald's in Japan. Mm. So why wouldn't McDonald's be the first U.S. partner? or Starbucks. Those seem to be the two logical. And then the next day it was like Starbucks deal, and I was like, oh, okay, well, could have told us.
Yeah, there you have it. But having said that, because you know, it launched in July, was huge. It's still, you know, it's still pretty huge. It's not like it's going anywhere. But what is Niantic doing to keep people engaged and keep breathing life into this machine? I assume they really need to stay on top of the ball in terms of just constantly adding features and the like.
Yeah, well, that's the challenge, right? So the challenge is, you know, the game is supernova hot, and then eventually people drift away and they don't open it every day, and then they stop doing it. And then, you know, I think what happens with these kinds of updates and these kinds of deals is that it jogs the memory. You know, and so, you know, Niantic had an update a few weeks ago that I thought was an obvious one, and I was surprised it took so long. And they took advantage of something that's called like the daily login challenge, the daily login. And what that means is that there's an incentive for you to log in every day and perform some kind of task. It's something I'm fascinated with right now in mobile gaming. It's such a powerful tool. And this wasn't in Pokemon Go, but now it is, where you know, the first Pokestop of the day gives you a little bit of extra juice. And if you catch, you know, four or five Pokemon over the course of those days, you know, you're given a streak, one-day streak, two-day streak, whatever. Well, one day can't be a streak, right? But two-day
right,
streak.
Well.
One day is just one day. Two-day streak, three-day streak, et cetera. And you don't even necessarily get anything out of it, but just the recognition that you have a streak, that's enough for some people to want to come back. And so those kinds of updates, and there'll be another one on December 12th. There'll be more Pokemon added. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of things that if you haven't opened up the app in a while, you know, you open it back up and you're like, oh, but that, I mean, I had so much fun playing this. And then you're re-engaging for whatever period of time. And it's any mobile game maker's challenge to get people to keep doing that.
Right.
Because gamers are fickle. You know, you move on to whatever is new, whatever is hot, you know, some other thing in your life that you just, you know. So to get people to spend time in these mobile games is a challenge, especially because they tend to be very casual and easily dropped.
We're talking Pokestops making their way to Starbucks with the Journal's Brian Fitzgerald. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
When you own a business, if you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. Thanks to ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites with one single click and have the highest chance of finding that perfect candidate. Plus, you can instantly be matched to candidates from over 6 million resumes. Find out why over 1 million have used ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Wall Street. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Wall Street.
Got money in the markets? Check out Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal, WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. Coffee and gaming worlds colliding as we speak, talking how Starbucks is soon to become Pokemon Go stops. The Journal's Brian Fitzgerald joins us. So, Brian, ultimately, I just wonder where this goes from here. I'm stepping away from Pokemon specifically for a second. You know, do you think that we're in a climate right now where we can see more of this interesting pairing of corporate retail with the digital mobile space? It seems like a minefield of innovative collaboration to a certain extent.
Mm.
Do you think this is a starting point of sorts, and we can only see more of this moving forward?
I would say, look, anything that works, you know,
true.
If this is successful,
it
will be repeated ad nauseum, right? So I'm going to say yes. And I think what's happening, particularly with video games, is that, you know, the world is awakening to the fact that video games aren't just a thing happening in some parent's basement somewhere.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's certainly happening. But, you know, this is an industry that is approaching, if it hasn't already passed, $100 billion. You know, if you're a Wall Street Journal listener, if you are an investor, if you care about business, you can't ignore an industry that's $100 billion,
right?
So you have that going on. It involves, you know, art, right? And so and entertainment. So, you know, games aren't simply just, you know, hit a button, something jumps, et cetera. There's increasingly narrative and deep storytelling involved in these games and really high art. High forms
and
of
the
entertainment.
Progress that they're making is just, it's unbelievable.
It's tremendous. I mean, it's photorealistic. You know, we used to joke when I was a kid, we used to joke at, you know, like my mom would walk in and think we were watching a football game and we were playing EA's, you know, NFL Madden
right.
NFL, right?
Right.
So we joke about that. And then, you know, about 2 weeks ago, I literally walked into my house and I asked my kid, oh, what game is on? It was Madden. You know, so so we come full circle. I was the joke, the butt of the joke, you know, and it just, I think it really speaks to how, you're right, the prowess, the technological prowess of these games is huge. And so it's firing on financial, technological, artistic cylinders. You know, games are a real thing. And I believe that companies will attach themselves to whatever seems to be hot and successful. Mm-hmm. And so I think you will see more of these kinds of collaborative deals.
Very
Absolutely.
Circle of life. Yeah, we'll end it there. Brian Fitzgerald, thank you as always.
Tanya, thanks for having me.
Once again, we've been speaking to the Journal's Brian Fitzgerald. He edits all things tech for the Journal. That wraps up this edition of the Tech News Briefing. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.